Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
What is up, everyone? We're back for episode 68 of the Deep Drive Pod. And, you know, we're kind of, you know, first, the last month of the season, or last month and a week, because you have that weird week in October due to the lockout. But, you know, the divisional races, or at least the teams that we know are going to have a fighting chance to make the playoffs, are kind of set in stone here. We have a really strong AL Central race. The NL East is opened back up. The AL East is a lot closer than it was projected to be just a month ago. So there was a lot of exciting stuff going on in baseball. So, you know, James, I know that, you know, we were, when we last did a podcast, you know, Mets were up, I believe, 5 or 6 games in their division. Yankees were up 7 or 8 games in their division. And now Mets are up, I believe, half a game, because they're up 9-0. They're not going to blow that lead. And the Braves have already run and they had a doubleheader. So they're up half a game again. So, you know, I mean, looking at both of those teams, the Braves have just played so well this year. They've gotten great production from both of the big-time rookies they've called up in Harris and Strider. Grisham's given them some value. Their pitching is really good. Their offense is really good. But the Mets are still a powerhouse, right? I don't want people to conflate, you know, the Mets blowing the division lead, quote-unquote, with them collapsing, because they've played really good baseball. The Braves have just gone on this pace that they are unstoppable. You know, we talked about in the last podcast just how great the Dodgers were. And not to say the Braves are, you know, putting up a season at the same level, you know, in terms of record as the Dodgers, but in terms of just being dominant, they've been at that pace ever since they got off to that slow start, you know, in the first 2 months of the season. So, James, where do you see this NL East race going right now?
Well, I mean, if you just kind of look at the schedules, and I know I hate doing this, but the Mets play some really shitty teams to end the year. And I know they're losing games to the Pirates and the Nationals like they have this week, but they've got the Marlins, they've got the Cubs, and they got the Pirates. And then you go into Milwaukee. That's a team I want to talk about later, because they have really not looked good recently. Then you get A's, Marlins, and then this series, I really hope that this 4-game series, the last weekend of the season, so the 30th to the 2nd, ends up being between the Mets and the Braves, ends up being the decisive factor here, because that would just be, you know, it's almost like a playoff series at that point. And then the Mets will just roll in and go back to New York, and then they get the Nationals to close out the season. Whereas the Braves they have a tougher schedule. They have the Mariners, who are, I believe, the hottest team in the league right now, if not the hottest, definitely one of them. The Giants, you know, they're not great, but they put up more of a fight than most of the teams I mentioned. For the Braves and the Phillies, another playoff team, they've got 7 against the Phillies, and then the Braves close the season against the Marlins. So, I mean, just overall, the Mets definitely have a chance here to cover some ground. I still think it's their division to lose, just based on that, but the Braves have been so much better recently. You know, it'll be close. Obviously, you know, there's been some pretty bad takes on both sides throughout the year, but the Mets and the Braves, but these are two really damn good teams. They're the second and third best teams in the National League, probably, depending on how you feel about the Cardinals, who are also one of the hottest teams in the league, and they've kind of run away with the NL Central, which I guess a lot of people thought would be closer. So I would go with the Mets, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Braves won it.
Yeah, I also think, you know, you look at where the Braves and Mets stand. The Mets have the 9-7 advantage in the head-to-head series. And that's big, because that means the Braves have to sweep the Mets in order to get the head-to-head. So in a situation in which the Braves and Mets are playing at the end of the season, as you mentioned, they play, their second to last season is against each other. If the Mets have a 1 or 2 game lead, the Braves have to sweep to win the division, essentially.
How's it 9-7?
What happened?
Shouldn't they have only played 15? Because they have 4 left.
Well, no, you play 19, I believe.
Yeah, which.
So that's 9, 7, 16.
16, and they have four more.
They have four. I thought it was three more. I believe it's three more. I could.
Oh, it is three more. Yeah. I don't know where I was seeing a four game series. So you're right. So they would again need a sweep then.
Right, and that series is in Atlanta. You know, the last time it's kind of a weird, it's kind of a weird situation because you know the Braves aren't. I feel like whoever wins this division, it's not going to be because they didn't play great or they didn't do enough. Maybe it's because they didn't do enough, but they've played really good baseball, the both of them, the entire season. They're both on pace to have well over 100 wins this season. Both of them are on pace to, if they were in almost any other division, win their division, except for the NL West and I believe maybe the AL West. But that, I'm not even sure about that. The Braves might have and the Mets might have a better record than the Astros. I'll check.
Couple games ahead, not much, but
they would win, you know, most divisions with their records, right? You know, we look at the Yankees and the Cardinals are the other two teams with 80 plus wins. They would be winning those divisions, and by a pretty decent margin, three games in the loss column in the AL East, and then they'd be up five games in the loss column in the NL Central. And obviously, the AL Central is a cakewalk.
I think. Yeah, I mean, definitely. The AL Central, like, I saw a graphic yesterday with, like, the Orioles and how they'd be first place in the AL Central, even though they're fourth in the division and might not make the playoffs. They're 3.5 out now, Baltimore is. But if I had to – I mean, they're going to be 4.5 out if they lose today, and they're down 4-1 right now. So I guess they're kind of falling apart a little bit, but they do have – the benefit of the strength of schedule here against the Blue Jays, where they have a chance because they play the Blue Jays so many more times. Like, still, they, I think they have 7 or 6 more games against the Blue Jays. And then other than that, I mean, they play the Nationals, they play the Tigers, they play the Red Sox a bunch of times. There's a chance here for Baltimore to cover some ground in the games not against the Blue Jays that the Blue Jays just kind of don't have, because they have so many more games against the Rays to close the season. So.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Those Rays games are tough for Toronto, whereas like these Red Sox games for Baltimore are a little bit lighter. So, I mean, I don't know if 4.5 games gets closed, but I think by the end of the year, they could be playing that last series could be a play in kind of similar to what we were talking about with the Mets, because they actually close the season against each other. The Blue Jays are in Baltimore in the last 3 games of the year.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I find interesting about the Orioles is just, like, I think we can both agree the Blue Jays' quality of roster is better. So I would pick the Blue Jays to make the playoffs. I'd also pick the Mariners and the Rays. The Orioles are just stuck in this situation where, you know, I think we talked about this when the Mariners were red hot before they got Castillo. I mentioned they need that, like, they need that frontline starter, because if they don't have that frontline starter, you're gonna have Marco Gonzalez, right, and Chris Flexen pitching 2 out of every 5 days, and those are not competitive guys in October to help you go deep into the playoffs.
But then they place one of them,
right? So you have Castillo, Kirby, Ray's pitching better, and you have Gilbert, and now you have a really fucking good 1-2-3-4. Like, that is a really good 1-3-4. Like, that's probably the, I mean, you could argue that's the deepest 1-4 in the American League. I mean
Houston.
Yeah, but you know what?
I'm still gonna take Houston. Yeah, because I mean, you're going Verlander, and maybe depth. The Mariners are a little better, but Verlander's kind of far and away better than any of the guys we've mentioned for Seattle.
I don't know if he's far and away better than Castillo.
I also think Valdez is better than all of them. Yeah. So okay. I mean,
I think Verlander and Framber have a case to both be better than the Castillo, and then their number two does not have a case to be close. Or not close, but they don't have a case at all, any case to be better than Framber and Verlander. So I guess that's a good point there. But like, the Mariners are legit contenders now. They have that starter. You know, they've gotten guys back position player-wise to be a good lineup. You know, that is kind of I think Castillo is the bridge between, you know, fringe contender and legit contender. And I was adamant about, they need a frontline starter. They went out and got, I think, you know, the perfect fit for them. They'll probably extend him. I think that makes sense. I think that's a really good fit for Castillo as well. And then you look at, you know, the rest of the American League, it's very much the Astros versus the field, right? Do we think the Astros are, like, the Astros are going to be favorites to win the American League? Obviously, you're going to pick the field probability-wise, because, you know, the Astros have to play 2 series. And even if they have a 50% chance.
Probability-wise, you'll pick the field. But, I mean, it's so tough to bet on the Yankees right now.
with it's not just the Yankees. I mean,
with the way that they've looked recently, I know. But the Yankees are like, you know, they're that number two team in the AL right now. Obviously, record wise, I don't know if they're the second best team in the AL. I think you can make an argument that any of these teams, Tampa Bay or Seattle, are a little better right now. The Yankees are rolling out lineups with Ronald Guzman hitting as their cleanup hitter, and he's just, I mean, they're hitting AAA guys in like their 3 and 4 spots. So
the thing with the Yankees is, I mean, what team are you getting, right? If we're getting that first half team or something close to it, you know, you're going to see a very good American League Championship Series if they get there against the Astros. You know, that'll be a great series. If you don't get that team and you get, you know, these hobbled kind of banged up guys rushing to return and, you know, get back into form, this team may not win the American League East. And if they do, they're going to have a really bad time against one of the Mariners and or Blue Jays or Rays and Cleveland or Cleveland, even though I would say Cleveland is definitively worse than the Yankees. You know, short series, a slumping team versus, you know, teams that have surged lately. The rest of the American League has kind of closed that gap between the Yankees and them. The Yankees kind of sunken down from that tier with the Astros, where you felt like it was Yankees, Astros. Those are the heavyweights in the American League. The Yankees have pulled down towards that field with the Rays, Jays, and Mariners, where they're all kind of in their own bubble, and it's the Astros and who can topple them. So, you know, the Yankees are just in a weird spot. You know, have they played better in the last couple of games? Sure, there's no doubt about that. Is that enough of a sample for you to call them back? No, not exactly. You know, is the pitching good? Yes. The bullpen's good? Yes. The hitting is just, it's been radio silent. They don't really have, Stanton hasn't looked great ever since he's coming back. Rizzo, the same thing, and he's out again. LeMahieu, the same thing, and he may be out again. So, I mean, it's kind of tough for them. I think I agree with you, kind of pick the Astros, even though probability-wise you want to go with the field. I just feel so much more confident that the Astros are just this complete team that they don't really have a flaw, right? The bullpen's very good. As you mentioned, they have two definite, not questionable ace caliber pitchers in Verlander and Framber Valdez. They can both go 7 innings, go 1-0 runs to 2 runs of ball. You know, 3 times through the order is not a concern for them. And then that 3 and 4 and 5. I mean, we just saw Hunter Brown throw 93-mile-per-hour sliders. So 95-mile-per-hour sliders.
I mean, it's a factory.
Right. Like they just develop guys that have this ridiculous stuff. We're not even talking about, you know, guys like Christian Javier who are having breakout seasons. You know, Lance McCullers Jr. is most likely going to look more like himself as the games go on. You know, Luis Garcia is a solid pitcher. They have so much pitching. There's definitely someone I just forgot to mention in all the Astros.
I mean, I think you got him. Urquidy, I guess, but he's not very good.
Who am I? I'm definitely forgetting someone. I feel like I am. Maybe I'm wrong.
They traded Odorizzi, so
yeah, but he's not really good. Like I don't consider
him. I think you've got him. You go in the playoff series, it's gonna be Verlander, Valdez, McCullers, and probably Garcia, I'd assume.
I think it might be Javier. I mean, Javier is right now.
Javier's had a really good year.
He's freaking like Javier's having a really damn good year. Like right now he's in the midst of 5 innings, 8 strikeouts, you know, no one run, no walks. Like ever since joining the rotation full time, you know, back in mid May, 3.56 ERA at Houston's pretty strong, considering the run environment. 32.7% strikeout rate to a 9.4% walk rate. That's pretty strong. A 3.29 Sierra. I mean, that's a number 3 starter, number 2 starter on a lot of teams. You could argue that's the number 3 on every single contender in the American League. And he's their number 4-3, depending on how McCullers looks down the stretch.
I mean, probably 4. I think they're probably going to trust McCullers a little more, just the experience and all that. But I mean, I don't know. It doesn't really make that big of a difference. Obviously Houston's loaded and they have been for years. And I mean, I don't think that's changing anytime soon, especially given this offense is still probably the best in baseball, top to bottom right now. With Altuve. Altuve's having just an incredible year, and I feel like he's kind of going a little bit under the radar. I think his WRC plus is up to like 160 now, right?
It's 159. And, you know, he would probably be smack dab in an MVP race if it wasn't for the fact that we're seeing two of the greatest seasons we may ever see coinciding at the same time. But, you know, a 159 WRC plus, you know, Tucker, Alvarez.
I mean, that's online with 2017 when he won the MVP. Obviously, obviously the counting stats are a little lower, you know, way less runs, RBIs, all that stuff, stolen bases, less war for sure. But I mean, he's a 32-year-old with a 160 WRC plus leading off. And then they go Pena, who's kind of fallen off a little bit towards the end of the year, but
Bregman.
Yeah. Bregman. Yeah. I mean, Bregman is, I think Bregman's back.
Yeah. He's back for sure.
Like, there's really no question there. Like, this is prime Bregman that we're seeing right now. In the second half, I think he's had like a 170 something WRC plus. I haven't checked that in a while, but we can go do that right now.
They're just an incredible position play. And you mentioned Pena's fallen off a little bit. He's kind of a league averager at this point, but he's a ridiculously good defensive player. And if you look at
you look at a shortstop with an average bat and
7 OAA
glove,
right?
Like, he'll take that.
And, you know, I know it's kind of a cliche, right? But, you know, good defense, it helps your pitching. This is a team that, you know, they pitch very well. They have great talent pitching-wise. They're going to play great defense in October. They're going to hit a lot of home runs. They're not going to swing and miss a lot. They're going to walk a ton. They're a deep lineup for a lot. You know, it's an advantage to have the best pitching staff in the American League and also have the best offense in the American League. You know, that means that your pitching staff is never going to face the best offense in baseball. Unless they face the Dodgers in the World Series, and your lineup is never going to face a pitching staff better than yours. So, you know, could you say, okay, you know, if the Astros run into a team like, you know, the Yankees, the Rays, where they have that number one guy who's really good in Cole or McClanahan, and, you know, they lose that first game, do you get a little worried? Sure. But, you know, the Yankees and the Rays, who are they turning to in game two? That's Framber Valdez. You know, they don't.
Right. And even if you lose game one, you're still going to lose with Justin Verlander on the mound, which is, especially in the early runs of the playoffs, is a tough guy to beat. I know he has had his struggles in the World Series, which are a little odd, but I mean, in the rest of the playoffs, he's kind of been, you know, one of the best postseason performers in MLB history.
And he eats innings, right? Like, that's another thing. Like, if he gives up four runs in the first inning, he could still give you six. Right, he might give you seven. I'm pretty sure there's a start. If I'm not mistaken, it was actually against the Yankees.
Aaron Hicks homer off the foul pole.
I'm pretty confident he pitched seven innings that day. I'm fairly confident. And that's a close game, too. So you would feel pressure to have to go to your bullpen so that you can give yourself a chance to win that game. And he just pitched his ass off. Like, there are just guys who just have ridiculous volume and can give you these long outings and these deep outings and benefit your entire staff. And they're going to have Urquidy and Brown in the bullpen most likely. I mean, if you give me three innings of Hunter Brown, that's scary. That dude just throws ridiculously hard. He has ridiculous stuff. Urquidy, you know, you want to call him an ERA merchant. I think that's a fair criticism of Urquidy. But you know what? He's been effective. His ERA has been, you know, a sub 90 ERA minus every single year of his career. And we're at 323 innings of sample here. So when do we get to the point where we just, hey, maybe he's just a benefactor of, you know, a strong defense. Maybe that's the situation, but it doesn't really matter because you don't have to worry about him pitching somewhere else. He's home run prone, yes, but he just avoids giving up runs, which is kind of weird. And even Steamer and Zips just see him as an average pitcher. But you know what? An average pitcher as your seventh best starter is ridiculous depth. And you could look at him in a bullpen role, you know, as a reliever, he is kind of spotty. He doesn't really get more strikeouts. The strikeouts have never really been there for him. But, you know, you might see him flourish in a bullpen role, his strikeout rate first time through the order is ridiculous. It's just, it drops off later on. So I think that could be a great role for him in October. They just have a lot of pitching depth, you know?
I mean, yeah, every pitcher who steps on the mound for Houston this playoffs is going to be above average at the very least.
Right. Barring injury, you know, this is arguably one of the deepest, this is just a really extremely well-rounded team. This is a team that's just, you know, I hate to use the word perfect, but they're close. They are very well.
I mean, they could use a third or fourth outfielder, but.
Yeah. No, I mean, catcher is not great for them. I mean, I'm not saying like position to position, but I mean like, you know, in the phases of the game.
They have an elite offense, an elite bullpen, and an elite rotation.
And a great defense.
And there's really not much more you can ask out of a general manager than that.
Unless you're the Dodgers.
But the Dodgers also have more resources than the Astros, just
money wise. Yeah, they and you know what? I think we look at the Astros and the Dodgers, and we just both kind of, if I'm gonna bet or I'm gonna pick on a team to win the American League and National League, I feel like it's Dodgers, Astros. And I know that's, last year that was probably the pick. And in 2019,
the year before that,
not 2020. I think 2020, the Rays at that point were better. But, 2020, 2019, you mentioned.
Yeah, but then that 2020 ALCS, there's a really good argument to be made that the Astros deserve to win that series just based on, like.
Oh, I think the Astros are very good.
They outplayed the Rays that series, but that's a whole different argument. I would say in the AL, I would say don't sleep on Cleveland.
I would agree.
I think they're not getting enough attention because they're kind of backing into a playoff spot. They're not, they wouldn't be in a playoff spot if divisions didn't exist, which, unfortunately for the Orioles, they do. But yeah,
it sucks for them.
But like, this team is really good. Their pitching staff is loaded. And I know it's a different type of pitching staff. It's not the one that you typically see succeed in October, but at the same time, that the Guardians have kind of built this repertoire of pitchers where it's just like, I kind of trust their process. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe they're not striking out the most hitters, but every single pitcher who steps on the mound for Cleveland is putting up numbers like 3 ERAs, whether it's Cal Quantrill or Tristan McKenzie. Or Shane Bieber. And
well, Bieber's having a great year. He's been, ridiculous.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. I would say that in a short series, Cleveland scares me. And they would scare me even if I was, looking at as the Yankees or an Astros fan. Maybe more so the Yankees than the Astros, just based on the way that the Yankees' offense has looked right now. I think they could be neutralized by a pitching staff like Cleveland. But, it's a big question as to who they'll end up seeing, because they're locked in. They will be the 3 seed so long as they don't lose the division, which I think probably won't happen. They've got 2 teams chasing them, but I don't know. I think they're the best team in the AL Central, so they're gonna get the 6 seed, which most likely will end up being Toronto, I'm assuming. But that'll be a fun series. I would say don't sleep on Cleveland, and then I still think Seattle's the second best team in the American League as of right now, but. Obviously, things can change.
Well, quickly. Seattle's red hot, so that's that plays a big hand into this. If they continue to play red hot, they will play well in October. The only thing that scares me with them is that they may have to run into the Astros in the first round, which kind of is a death sentence for a lot of teams, because the Astros, the American League Division Series, are maybe one of the greatest teams I've ever watched. Like, that, they crush people in the ALDS. It's not funny. Like, they literally slaughter teams.
I mean, they've made it to the ALCS. What now? Is it 5 or 6 years in a row?
Right. But,
They'll probably make it again, just given the circumstances. It'll be a fun series, though, I think. Yeah, especially given that they're division rivals and the Mariners are young and fun. I don't know. If we switch over to the NL, I think we can talk about the Cardinals. The Cardinals are just, they're blazing hot. They're beating everybody.
And their offense is ridiculous. Their offense is so loaded. And their pitching has been better lately. Quintana, Flaherty's looked great. His velocity's back. His stuff is back. Montgomery's really good. Just one, two, and Wainwright's going to be there. That's 4 starters that can at least compete in a playoff game.
If the Cardinals can get this Jack Flaherty, I think they might win the National League.
I think they are very much in that same bubble, in my opinion. Maybe this is a little bit of an exaggeration, but I think they're in that same bubble with the Mets and the Braves. I think the Braves would beat them in a 5-game series or 7 games, same thing with the Mets, but I don't think it's 65. I would say coming into the season, I would not be very high on any Central team. But the Cardinals have kind of shown, I picked them to win the division. Thank you for that, Cardinals. I beat Fangraphs there. So thank you guys. But they hit very well. They can slug with anyone and outslug almost anyone, with the exception of perhaps the Dodgers. If you're the Braves or the Mets, and you don't win the games, you don't win those games where you have the Striders or Freeds or Scherzers or DeGroms on the mound, you get into the later part of that series and you're not going to be feeling very good. I mean, St. Louis is a cavernous ballpark. That defense plays to their pitching. We've talked about how BABIP drops a lot in the playoffs. Having a good defense is, it's very, very, it's a huge advantage. And they happen to have two of the hottest position players in the sport right now in Arenado and Goldschmidt. And Lars Nootbaar is red hot. He's not a gimmick player. He's not just a guy with a goofy name. He is genuinely a good player. You know, they have, I'm pretty sure Tyler O'Neill's hit a little better lately. You know, the only flaw with their offense is really, you know, the catcher and Yadier Molina, but, you know, kind of live with it because supposedly a good game caller. I believe he's a good game caller. I have no reason to doubt he isn't a great game caller.
And I mean, it's hard to argue with that, you know, pedigree.
Right.
With Molina. I think San Diego's interesting. They're probably guaranteed a playoff spot at this point. Because Milwaukee has just looked horrible recently. It almost looks like the Brewers are trying to miss the playoffs, but I'm not even going to get into that yet. I think San Diego could do some damage, just given how much talent is in this lineup. You know, obviously no Tatis for them, but Soto and Machado are up there with Arenado and Goldschmidt for like that, you know, top tier of duos. And then they also got, you know, Bell and Cronenworth, Profar, Kim, Myers, like a bunch of other average-ish hitters to slightly above average. I think this team could put up a ton of runs in the right environment. And then you go into a playoff series. They obviously have pitching with Musgrove and Darvish and whoever the hell else they want to put out there. Snell's looked better recently. Manaea's horrible, but they're going to have to look at that.
Yeah, I think the thing is, and, you know, we were talking about how Cleveland is, you know, Cleveland somehow has a better position player F4 than the Padres. You look at how much the Padres got Juan Soto. And, you know, I mean, you could argue, you know, at the deadline, I mean, that was the great, like one of the best players you could have possibly ever acquired in any deadline ever. And they don't have a better position player F4 than the Guardians, but their pitching is very good, right? As you mentioned, they're just interesting because I don't think you want to face them in a short series, but at the same time, they're also like, they just have this, like, you know, I like
they're the Mets, so inconsistent.
You know how like the Mets were viewed for like, and I know this hasn't necessarily changed for a lot of people, but you know, before this year, how the Mets were viewed, like they were kind of due to have some embarrassing fall in your face moment. The Padres just consistently routinely fall flat on their face. And there's that factor of like, I don't know, man. I just can't picture that team pulling off a World Series. I think it would have to take some drastic change of fortune. I mean, they get Juan Soto, and not even a week later, their star shortstop gets popped for PEDs. You know, like, you know,
it almost seems like they're cursed.
Right. They were right in the mix in that NL West race. They get Soto and they collapse completely. Like they go completely out of it. The Dodgers go red hot, you know, and they're only in a playoff spot, kind of like how Cleveland is. They're backed into a playoff spot, except it's not because of divisions. It's because the Brewers are losers.
Oh, the Brewers are.
They're pathetic.
So, I mean, I think the Brewers are built around a superstar Christian Yelich and they're not getting it. That's like their main, I would say that's probably their main
problem. They don't spend money.
It's the way that they're built. They're built for, if you look up and down their lineup, like this lineup would look good if, you know, Adamas, Renfroe, McCutcheon, Kira, and all of them are supporting a 170 WRC plus Yelich. But the problem is that he's not a 170 WRC plus hitter anymore. And so all of a sudden your lineup, you know, a lineup of all average hitters is cool in theory, but it never actually works in practice.
Right. And on top of that, I mean, the pitching staff is great. Like, there's no doubt about it. But if you can't hit, I mean, you're basically what are you as an or as a team? You know, like what are you going to accomplish? How can you beat a team like the Cardinals if they can't? If they're going to be able, if they're outplaying you consistently, and then you go and play teams like the Rockies and you have shit show, Matt. You know, they trade.
You can't in a playoff race lose. What is it? Out of seven, they went 2-5 against the Diamondbacks and Rockies. You can't.
Didn't the Cubs take licks against them too? I'm pretty sure the Cubs.
Oh, the Cubs took the season series from the Brewers, and they tied with the Pirates. I think, or 10-9 the Pirates.
I'm confident in saying, yeah, because you can't tie because it's an
odd number. But
yeah, I'm confident in saying like we're gonna have to have a real discussion in the offseason if the Brewers fail to get better. And this is another thing about the Brewers: that Yelich contract isn't just a hamper on the field; it's financial.
Oh, it was 11-8 Pirates Brewers, but still,
like no, but that's not good enough, right? Like I guess that's kind of what we're getting at here. Another thing too is like you know that Yelich contract acts like an anchor; it stops them from making a lot of moves they should have made or they should be making. You know what? They don't have financial flexibility. they have a great farm. Like, they do have a farm that's like, it's coming together, and that'll help them down the road. But a lot of the best farms in baseball are in their own division. And you know what? The Cubs are not like the Cubs and Brewers, I would say, are definitely like, the Brewers are definitely better than the Cubs right now. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but I think though, if you look at like the trajectories of these teams, it's like this, you know, the Cubs are going straight up this way and the Brewers are just falling off a cliff. You know, right. I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking back in 2 years and the Brewers are one of the worst teams in the league.
And another thing too is, look, the Cubs can go buy whatever they need on the free agent market, right? Like, they need a shortstop, not a shortstop, but they need an infielder. They'll go on and get an infielder. They need a middle of the order bat. They'll go on and get a middle of the order bat. You know, I believe Shohei Ohtani was reported as a guy that the Cubs are interested in, and that then I remember Ohtani was interested in the Cubs. They have money and they have a draw. There are a lot of people.
If they want Ohtani enough, they'll be able to land him just based on the fact that they have enough money to do so. The Brewers right. would never be in a race for a guy like that, and it's just the reality of the situation there.
And, you know, talking about, you know, where the Cubs are at in terms of what their situation is, their farm is very good, they can go out and buy things they need. And kind of the pinnacle here with the Cubs is that, look, I mean, you've heard, I don't know if you heard Wes Neske's post-game interview where he talks about it. Chicago's loud, right? Like, that stadium gets loud. That team is not remotely competitive. That team has, like, I'm pretty sure they're basically eliminated from playoff contention.
And they're still selling out Wrigley Field on a regular basis.
Right. So if you're a free agent, you know, you want to be marketable. You know, we saw this with, I believe, Lester, where he mentioned he wanted to sign with the Cubs. He could be the first one there to kind of start off what he thought was something special and ended up being something special. Why would a free agent sign with Milwaukee when they are going to offer you less money? You're going to be in a worse market. The owners are not nearly as committed to winning, right? Like, sit down and have a pitch with the Cubs versus the Brewers. The Brewers are 12 games better in the standings than the Cubs, but you know what? You feel way more committed to the winning. So you feel a greater commitment to winning from ownership for the Cubs than you do about the Brewers. And the Cardinals too are in that division, and they're young and they're good and they have great prospects. The Cardinals are another team that they're a team that can spend a little bit.
They're going to bring up Mason Wynn soon. They'll bring up Jordan Walker.
Right.
The Cardinals have, I think, a really top heavy farm, but still a very good farm system at that. Like, the Brewers might, I mean, they have an argument to have maybe the best farm system in baseball, but just based on the pure volume of top 150 prospects that they have. But I mean, I don't know. It's tough to be in a position like the Brewers right now, because they're going to keep trying to do what they've been doing the last few years, where it's like, they kind of just churn guys in and out. You know, they don't really show any commitment to their players. You know, you see Hader, they just sent him away. And I know he's been bad since he got traded, but they'll trade their best players right in the middle of their peaks just because they don't want to pay them. And that's kind of the way that this organization is going to be run until, I mean, I don't know.
Like, what gives you confidence they're going to extend Burns? Burns going to get more? Like, he could get $300 million contract. Why would he stay? They're not going to give him $300 million.
Especially, you know, given what happened to Yelich.
Yeah, like, they're not going to.
I don't know. I think that we're looking too much in the big picture compared to what I was thinking about with the Brewers. But I'm just saying, like, you know, as it is right now, like, you can't lose these games in the middle of a playoff race.
Exactly. They're kind of in this, they're just not playing great. They're not handling business. And you know what? The Phillies have kind of taken advantage of that. You know, I've clowned the Phillies a lot on this podcast because they're kind of this hilarious group of what the fuck are you doing type of team. And they've what the fuck are we doing themselves into a top 10 record in baseball. I don't know how they got there.
Oh, they're good.
Flown under the radar. There's so many laughable moments with the Phillies this season, and they are one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. They have this reputation for being a bad pitching staff, and they are fourth in F4. They don't lead their division because the Braves are ahead of them, but they are fourth in all of baseball in pitching F4, ahead of the Mets, ahead of the Yankees, ahead of the Padres, ahead of the Rays, ahead of Cleveland, ahead of Toronto, ahead of Seattle, ahead of Milwaukee, who, by the way, is a league average in pitching F4. That's not a great sign for them. You know, they're starting pitching. We've talked about Wheeler a lot, you know, Nola. They're tied for the best starting pitching F4 in the sport. This is just a really, like, I don't know.
It's a really damn good team.
Yeah, and they have a good WRC plus the team. 105 is good enough to get you by with the pitching. You know, the bullpen, yes, it's always going to be that reputation of, I don't know what this team really is. And the team ERA reflects that. And the win probability for their bullpen is in the negatives. So they still have that kind of low Phillies aspect.
Yeah, but the thing about bullpens in the playoffs is they shrink a lot. So yes, those guys who you're looking at that are kind of contributing to those numbers you're looking at right now, they don't play. So it doesn't really matter. In a playoff series, like you go in with Wheeler and Nola, and you might only need four innings from your bullpen in the first two games of a series. And then those can be the same two guys. It can be Robertson and who else in this bullpen is even somewhat decent? Alvarado, Dominguez.
Yeah, Sir Anthony Dominguez is really good. I'm pretty sure Alvarado, since coming back, I think they sent him down for a
period. Brad Hand's been okay. Connor Brogdon's been okay. I would say, like, if you can go Wheeler for seven and then Dominguez for one and Knebel or Robertson or something like that, some form of those, like, four relievers with Wheeler, Nola going seven innings, like, you're looking fine, at least for a short series. I don't know if they last in a long one, but Wheeler and Nola are also workhorses in the sense that they can probably pitch on 3-4 days rest. They can pitch on short rest and game one and game four, game two and game five. And so then you really don't have to worry about that game three.
I guess my only concern with them, and I don't know if this is a fair concern, I mean, I think it's a fair concern, but they just don't field well. And I'm concerned that it's going to cost them a lot in October. And that's kind of like, I think it's their defense that holds them back the most. Like, if you look at what, like, their pitching staff, what probably holds their bullpen back is the defense. What probably holds any starting pitching back is the defense. What holds back anything with that team is their defense. They're a bad defensive team. They try to kind of maneuver around that really shitty defense, but it's hard to do so. Do I think that they're going to necessarily, make every error? Like, they're not going to be able to make a single play. No, I don't think it's like anything like historically dog shit, but is it worse than every other team in the playoffs? Most likely. Yeah. I know they have that reputation, and I don't want to make it seem like I'm saying that they're not going to ever, like, they don't have a shot, but they don't have the shot that like the Braves do or the Mets do or the Dodgers do, because they're not a good defensive team and they don't do. Or like I would put them below the Mariners, and I put them below the Blue Jays, and I put them below the Rays, and I put them below the Yankees. And that's just that little bit. They're kind of in that weird tier with the Padres, where they're not as good as those teams. But like, you're like, they should be as good. They should be this good. I think they should be like,
I mean, we looked at when we talked about this last year. I mean, obviously, we remember Jack saying that any team can win the World Series except for the Braves, and they won the World Series. I'm not going to say.
I remember saying every team. I remember saying every team could win it. I remember arguing that every team could win it.
And I think we're looking at the same thing this year. I don't think there's a playoff team, even with expanded playoffs. I don't think there's a playoff team that can't win it.
I think expanded playoffs have been good.
There are teams. Oh, for sure. I think when you look at the wild card standings, in both leagues, I don't think that third team is unqualified in either league. It's the Padres and the NL, who, I mean, I wouldn't be mad if we saw a playoffs without the Padres, but
it'd be kind of funny. But
yeah, exactly. And I mean, Toronto's definitely a playoff team, and they had the same problem last year where they probably should have made the playoffs. They won 92 games or something, and missed. And I think that was part of the reason why the 12 team playoff was so popular. But I mean, just looking at what we know about these teams, is I just think that this 12 team playoff, as much as I hate when they expand playoffs in any sport, we're not going to get into anything else, any other sports right now, but I hate expanding playoffs just in general. I think it's stupid, but I think this one is worthy because 12 teams is like a good number for baseball.
Yeah, I think it should stay at that number too. I don't want it to go any
further. I don't want 14. I don't want 16. 16's right. Stupid.
Yeah, 16 you end up with these, too much.
With these NBA teams where they go like 40-42 and make the playoffs. Like, get the fuck out of here. That's not a playoff team.
Right. But, and look at the Mariners and the Jays would be like, oh gosh, are they going to make the playoffs? And that shouldn't be the case. I think those two teams have clearly established themselves as really good. I think the Padres, we talk about it'd be kind of funny to see them miss it, but what if they get red hot, man? If Soto clicks, Machado clicks, Bell clicks and their pitching is their pitching, they're going to win a lot of games. They're going to win a lot. They could win a lot of games in October. The big question is, you know, can you beat the Dodgers, I guess? Because the Dodgers are kind of, the way we talk about the Astros is the way I'm going to talk about the Dodgers, but to a greater extent, because that team is, I mean, loaded. I don't know if loaded is the great, I don't think you can really call them loaded the way you call other teams loaded, because I mean, it runs deep, dude. Like that team is just stacked, right? Like top to bottom, left and right, you know, the pitching is ridiculous. Kershaw, May, Urias, Heaney, Anderson is, I mean, I think they have like a top three ERA plus in like the modern era ever. Their bullpen, I mean, Chris Martin's a like fill-in guy for them and he's ridiculous. They've lost Walker Buehler. Tony Gonsolin is on the IL right now and their pitching has not skipped a beat. Like, look at the injured list is ridiculous for this team. Yency Almonte, Danny Duffy, Victor Gonzalez, Brutzer Graterol, Daniel Hudson, Tommy Canley, Jimmy Nelson, David Price, Walker Buehler, Tony Gonsolin. Like, that's, you know, that's the, that's like the best pitching staff in baseball right then and there, right? Like
and that it's bullpen on the IL.
Right. And they're just replacing these guys left and right. Now, the offense, yes, the whole, very obviously off the top of the head is Bellinger. Right. But you have Tristan Thompson, who for some reason, Trace Thompson, who has a 145. He has a 145 WRC plus for the fucking Dodgers right now. Now, I know that it's bat speed related. He has like really good bat speed and his power is not like below average, but he's got two defensive runs saved, two outs above average in center field. He'll probably be their starting center fielder in the playoffs. They still have Chris Taylor. They have, you know, Miguel Vargas. If he heats up, they can go to him. I know Chris Taylor only has a 95 WRC plus this year, but if that's your worst position player, you're doing pretty good. You know, you're doing all right. You're doing pretty good. You know, Max Muncy is kind of turned it around. He's at a 105 WRC plus. He's starting to put the ball in the seats again after having a really brutal start to the year. He's really come alive since the month of August, 154 WRC plus. What is the flaw with this team? Like we talk about the Dodge, like the Astros, like maybe they could get more production from this position, that position.
I think come October, you go into the playoffs. I think especially with the guys that they've lost, you know, Buehler might not pitch until 2024, but that's a whole different issue. I think just that starting pitching could be better. You know, it's Urias, who's definitely a Cy Young candidate based on, what he's done so far this year, but obviously it's early. It's not early. That's not what I mean. But obviously Sandy's going to win. You know, I don't know. Kershaw, Urias, and I don't know when Gonsolin's back. It might be a little phantom IL, but they said it wasn't, but I don't know if I trust them.
It was a forearm issue, which is a little concerning. I don't like that. Strained forearms are not like that. You usually see like groin or back.
For phantom stuff, it's always the groin or the back. It's always
forearm. That's, you know, that's scary.
Or it could just be a really good phantom IL stint. Who knows?
Maybe it's just he's fatigued. You know, I hope it's not too bad because he's an ERA merchant, whatever. But the Dodgers are fucking ridiculous. I don't give a shit. You know, they need him.
They need him if they're gonna win the World Series. I think they need that third pitcher because as of right now, you go Kershaw and Urias. But
I like May. I think Dustin May's stuff is really good. I like him.
I don't know if I trust Dustin May though to give me like six or seven quality innings in the
playoffs. Oh no, definitely not six or seven quality. But are they really gonna ask anyone outside of maybe Urias and maybe Kershaw for six or seven?
I mean, I think Kershaw would go seven in a playoff game.
Do you think they're gonna routinely need to ask him to do that? I mean, they're gonna be able to.
I don't know. I think the lineup is loaded. It's ridiculous.
And it's the bullpen too.
Mookie Betts is having the second. I mean, he might be having the second best season of his career, and that's saying a lot given the career that Mookie Betts has had.
Mookie Betts could be a 100 WAR player by the time he retires, and I feel like
sure. And I wouldn't be surprised. Like 100 WAR players are generational talents, right?
Yeah.
And Mookie's 29 years old, sitting at 50. It's a complete possibility,
right? And having, you know,
he's gonna probably put up seven wins this year again, missing a decent amount of games, missing 20-30 games. He'll probably have another seven and a half WAR this year, and if he can keep this up,
even if he doesn't end up with that 100 war mark, he's going to land in the high 80s, low 90s, perhaps, and he'll be a top 25 player in F war of all time. I don't think that really like sits like in, I'm not saying he's a top 25. Obviously, you know, there's pitchers involved and there are some guys who've had shorter careers, you know, that didn't play so long. But I mean, think about that. Mookie Betts, we're watching Mookie Betts. He's, you know, we saw him traded. You know, is Soto going to be a top 25 player of all time? Do we know that he's going to be top 25
of all time? I don't think, No, right? I believe in him to, at least not the F war. He won't, I don't think he'll ever put up the war that Soto, that Betts puts up just because of the defense.
And I guess that's kind of where I sit, right? Like, it's like, I mentioned we saw Soto, we might have seen a guy who's going to be a top, you know, a top 25 position player ever get traded in his prime by the Boston Red Sox in this era. Like, I don't know. Like, that's kind of wild to me. This is a really fucking good player. Like, this is a remarkable generational and type player.
Should I think it's kind of funny the Dodgers have used him at second base a couple times recently. I think they're just messing around at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they've got Division One. They're kind of fucking around. They're kind of figuring out, you know, what they can do in the outfield. You know, they don't really need the outfield. They need the outfield help more than they need the infield help. Like, why take it seriously? That's not what I'm arguing. But why do you don't need to, like, you're not dying to, you know, you're not dying to win games right now. I told, like, I think we talked about the wins record when they said it, and I think it was like, they don't really need to give a fuck about these games. They're not going to sweat these games because it doesn't make sense to chase a record that you have a very low chance of grabbing. They're not going to sweat these games. They don't give a shit. Like, you know, not to say anything.
So where are they? They're 94 and 42 to set the win record. They need to go 22-4 to end the season.
And that's not, that's not happening. And it's
not going to happen, but you know, as fun as it could have been, it won't happen. And at this point, like, they've already clinched the one seed in the NL, right? Obviously not literally, but like
they're gonna win their division.
They're eight games ahead of the Mets. They're gonna be the one seed. They could lose out. They might still be the one seed. So, that's obviously also an exaggeration.
We're not trying to downplay any other team. Like, we're not trying to downplay teams. We're just trying to like probability wise, right?
They're so depleted though. Like, the Dodgers are the best team in the league. They're the best team in the league for sure. Top to bottom, if you look at their roster, but they're so depleted right now. I don't know if they're the World Series favorites.
I think they're the World Series favorites, and here's why. If there's any time the Dodgers should be depleted, it's now. They don't have to care. They can have guys take their time. They can work. Like, if Tony Gonsolin needs to get to 80 pitches, it doesn't matter if he gives up 30 runs. They'll let him because they don't give a fuck. These games don't matter, right? Like, let's think about the Yankees trying to get a guy like Severino back. If they need to get him to 80 pitches,
got to do it in the minors.
Right, but not only that.
The minor league season's over now, so.
Yeah, so, you know, if you want to get him to 80 pitches in a major league game or get him to 100, he's got to pitch well to get to that point. You can't just let him do it. You know what I mean? Because you can't risk losing a baseball game when you need every win you can get. The Rays, same thing with them and a guy like Shane McClanahan when he comes back. They can't just say, throw 100 pitches. They have to say, okay, we're going to get you to 80. We're going to get you to 90. We're going to get you – like, they got to hold themselves back a little bit. Same thing with the Yankees. Same thing with a lot of teams nursing dudes back. The Dodgers have this advantage where they don't have to rush anyone back. And the Astros, I think, share this advantage with Verlander. Verlander's not going to need to rush back. Sure, it'd be nice for him to pick up another Cy Young, but does he care at this point in his career? He does probably. Do the Astros? Not really. Everyone knows he's going to waltz into the Hall of Fame. Everyone knows he's one of the greatest starting pitchers we'll ever see. Everyone knows he's one of the most accomplished pitchers ever. These guys are going to waltz into October free. This is the benefits, the spoils of being such a great team in the regular season. There is an advantage to it. They get to kind of ease guys back, position players, pitchers. And I think if the Dodgers are going to pick a time to be banged up, it's now. Now, the last 3 weeks of the season, if we don't see, you know, Tony Gonsolin on a major league mound, I'm going to count him out for, you know, ever pitching six innings in October. If we don't see him back 2 weeks into the season, I'm going to count him a reliever. They don't have to rush these guys back. And I think that gives them time to build up and kind of get to where they need to be without any worries about, we got to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can wrap up there. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you in episode 69.
Life is a highway.
and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.